This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your sports update from One Bills Drive. The Bills fell to 4-2 on the season with last night's 26-17 loss to the Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the biggest part of the team's 245 rushing yards against the Bills. Buffalo will look to bounce back and widen their lead in the AFC East with 2 games against divisional opponents coming up starting Sunday when they visit the Jets, then a matchup with the Patriots in Week 8. A few injury notes from last night. Cody Ford, Cam Lewis, and Tyrell Dotson left the game with knee, wrist, and hamstring injuries, respectively. Head coach Sean McDermott will speak to the media this afternoon at 4 p.m. We may get an update on the status of each of those players. In the other Monday Night Football matchup between the Cardinals and Cowboys, it was Kyler Murray returning home to Texas and making the most of his first return as a pro to his home state, turning in 262 total yards and 3 total touchdowns in a lopsided 38-10 win over the Cowboys. The Dolphins gave rookie quarterback Tua Tagovailoa a taste of playing time in Sunday's blowout win over the Jets. Now they think he's ready to start. Tua will start for the Dolphins in Week 8 against the Rams. Following the Dolphins' bye this week, Ryan Fitzpatrick will assume backup duties. And the Tennessee Titans are expected to face a fine from the NFL, but avoid harsher penalties such as draft pick forfeitures after a league investigation into the team's COVID-19 outbreak. That is your sports update from One Bills Drive as we begin hour number two of the program with our weekly visit from the man from Good Morning Football that you all know and love, one Kyle Brandt. Kyle, we've played 2 games since we last spoke to you, and they have not gone well, my friend.
No. What the hell happened here, guys? The last time we spoke. All right, let's just do a quick recap. Let's timestamp this.
Do we need
thing.
To?
When last we spoke, Chris is wearing a Ron Burgundy wig,
yes,
and a mustache
that
and a jacket.
Correct.
We were talking about Steve's hair. The Bills are 4-0. It's Mardi Gras in Western New York. It's the best time of our lives. And then just 2 clock cleanings later in 1 week, you guys are dressed normally. There's no wigs, no mustaches, but I refuse to be down. I'm not going to do it. That's not my job when I come in here. I'm going to inject energy into this thing. So, holy crap, that was a rough week.
Yeah, it was tough. And you knew going in, there are 2 really good football teams in the AFC Championship a year ago, and the winner of that game actually wins the Super Bowl. You're facing the MVP of the league 2 years ago and the Super Bowl MVP last year. I mean, you figure last night's game was going to be a test for the Bills. It was a close game. You miss a field goal at the end of the first half to tie it up. You kind of feel like you kind of got yourself together. And, man, oh, man, it just never felt like the Bills had any semblance of hope in that second half, even though the scoreboard said it was close.
Yeah, I would look at it this way, Steve. If you had told us a week ago, here's the deal, guys, the Bills are going to lose both these games, it would be a little punch in the throat. But the real devastating overhand, right, is how. When you hear how they lost, it's not that they lost to the Titans and Chiefs. I don't know. I don't really think they belonged with them for most of those games. In that we started our show this morning. I'd be interested to hear how you started yours. It was just, are the Bills still one of the best teams in the AFC? And the answer is no. Right now, the Buffalo Bills are a good team. They're not a great team. We know that. And maybe they will be. Maybe they will be in 2 months. Maybe they will be in 2 weeks. Right now, they're one of the also-rans in the AFC. Now, that doesn't mean that they're at the bottom of the barrel. They're not going to the playoffs. Maybe they will go to the playoffs. It just means they're in that, they're a B. They're the 3-star restaurant. They're not the 4. And that's all right, I think, for now. I put it this way. I'd rather be having this conversation right now than as we're getting close to Christmas and they look like they've been cruising and they got fat and happy on a 10-1 record. They're taking their lumps now.
Right.
And I can't imagine McDermott's not giving them more, because I knew a Sean McDermott team could lose. I did not think that this man's team would get all run over, would commit more dumb penalties. Like, if it's chair throwing time for McDermott, it's about right now.
Well, he described the problems. He often says, you know, we try to identify little pebbles as problems that we have, and we address them early so they don't become boulders. And after last night's game, he said, we have some boulders to take care of. So I don't know if he's handing out rock hammers. I don't know if Andy Dufresne's coming by to teach him how to do that. But they've got some big problems to address here, as Coach McDermott himself sees it. Fortunately for them, they've got the Jets on the schedule next to try to right some of the wrongs.
It's simple. In the Bills locker room, they got a big old poster of Raquel Welch, and behind it there's a tunnel, and the tunnel goes all the way to MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, and they're just going to crawl through there. That is like the schedule gods usually screw you. Ah, man, we can't play this team. This is beautiful. This is a spa week. They're going to play the game against the Jets in robes with cucumbers on their eyes.
And
they're
slippers.
They're going to play Enya in the stadium. And slippers with their little names embroidered on it.
Right.
This is the greatest gift ever from the schedule gods. And I don't even want to hear any given Sunday. Right now, the Jets can barely line up all right. Joe Flacco, who I totally respect and feel bad for, is their quarterback. This is perfect. Get right. Read a magazine, get in the hot tub, relax, tackle, do the things you're supposed to do, and then we'll resume the season. But this is a nice day at the Burke Williams Spa. They're getting a mani-pedi. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. What do you think? I know this. The Bills gave up a lot of yards last night.
And
of course, they gave up some yards to Derrick Henry and the Titans and all of that stuff. And do you think – I mean, I don't think it's just one thing. Run defense aside – do you think if they fix their run defense, everything gets a little better? Or do you think, I mean, last night they were in a close game and even the offense couldn't answer the bell. So
I know.
It's not just, I don't think there's a magic wand or one problem that needs to be solved.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. Is that even when they cut it to a score last night, it just didn't feel like it was ever going to happen. You get kind of excited, they score late, maybe we can pull it out. And then Mahomes just kind of snaps his fingers and they hand it off. He makes a play, move the chains. Good night, Irene. Listen, if they could wave a magic wand, which they can't, and make the run defense like it was a few years ago, then I'm worried about the run offense all of a sudden. And, you know, I love to see Josh Allen running around, and they actually had some good scripted runs for him last night. But I don't want him to be the leading rusher on the team. I don't even want him to be close.
Right.
We got young, fresh-legged running backs on this squad. You don't see a lot about him. I liked a little flash of what I saw from Moss last night, but this has got to be a different deal. It's the Josh Allen show. This is what I would say. Everybody take a deep breath and just soak in a few things. You're probably not going to go 13-3. I don't think Josh Allen is going to win the MVP of the NFL this year. I think that is gone, and that's all right. It's not the goal of the season. The goal of the season is to win the division and win a playoff game or two. Take a deep breath. Reestablish who you are. And enough of this. They're not the greatest show on turf. Josh Allen throwing for 350, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's not what's going to work for them in the long term. I would like to make a few tackles, and I'd like to have some running plays that work better before the next Josh Allen MVP campaign comes up. And I'm a supporter of it. I got the gentleman's name on my shirt right here. I love him, but I don't know if that's the recipe for the Bills month after month.
We've said off the air in between, this game looked like it did 2 years ago in Josh's rookie season. That's kind of the way that team played yesterday. There's just, you know, there's a lot of problems going on, and you see some hints of what we think is in there and what we've seen in the first four games of this year. We've seen hints of that, and we see it, flashes of it, but it looks like that, you know, last night particularly, it looked like they, you know, it was 2018, and Josh was a rookie looking all over the place.
And, Steve, it's 2018, and is it going to be 2025? Here's the deal. The Bills are going to grow old with this dude, with Josh Allen, with McDermott, God willing. It's going to be years to come. But Mahomes isn't going nowhere. Lamar Jackson's going nowhere. All these guys are going to grow old with Josh Allen. So they're his peers, and he may have another one down in Miami now. So it's like it's never going to get easier. It's never like – oh, all those guys are going to fall off. They're all going to be great. You have to eventually beat them, and we'll get there eventually, I hope.
You mentioned Miami. The news came down after you were off the air on your show So how does this one grab you? The Dolphins are suddenly a game behind the Bills in the division, and they turn to Tua now.
What are
with
they
Fitz playing well? I mean, you're a game out with 11 games to play.
Should the Bills send the Dolphins a thank you card for this?
Well, I don't think so. I think some of the initial reactions, and they totally make sense, are, whoa, 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 what are you doing? This, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think the opposite way. I think for years, the Miami Dolphins have been prisoners of the moment, short-term thinking, just stay with what's working if anything's working. This is a bold move that tells me that Flores and his assistants are saying, you guys have no idea what we have in this Tua kid. We do. We're not keeping him on the bench for another second. They didn't put him out there because he came at the end of the game against the Jets, completed a couple passes. I think they're putting him out there because they've been watching him for 6 weeks, and he's a phenom. And they know. The other thing, listen, you guys know this as well as anybody. Fitzpatrick is not going to keep winning. We have 15 years of experience with this. He goes on a nice ride. He gets you in the mix, and then it usually falls off. That's the facts. So it's almost like they're saying, we're not going to wait for the fall. We know Ryan, what he is and what he isn't. He's thrown a few picks. We're eking out some wins, but we're going to beat it. And we believe in this kid. And instead of waiting 2 weeks from now when we have two more losses to put him in, we're going to put him in now. It's bold, but I actually really respect it. It's easy to stay with Fitz. A lot of teams stayed with Fitz. He falls off. The roller coaster goes down. I like this move.
And then how do you think that changes the landscape of the division here, Kyle? Because we know that the Patriots are struggling. They were in and out of their facility. They could practice. They couldn't practice. It kind of revealed itself on the field last week. You know, fumbling, bumbling, stumbling. I know they didn't have their center, and that contributed to it. But they don't look like they have receivers that can even get open.
Yeah, they look bad. Here's my own take on the division, okay? Bills have to decide how good they want to be. They have to decide if they want to be a great team or not, and they got a few weeks to do that. We know what we feel about them. The Jets are obviously the Jets. They may go 0-16, they may go 2-14, they're irrelevant. The Patriots, I'm in no way setting aside. Understand that. I'm not going to have the naivete to say, well, they don't have it together. That last game, it was ugly as hell. They had two practices in 2 weeks. Their quarterback was coming off the COVID list. He's new to begin with the team. I still think a month from now we'll be talking about New England is in the mix. And let's not forget, they don't lose to Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. I wish they would for the sake of variety and entertainment, but they don't. And until they do, I'm not saying, well, the Patriots are cooked. I don't care if they lost to Denver. And then lastly, Miami is the ultimate enigma in this thing. If Tua comes out and looks anything like he should, they can run away. I'm telling you, I believe that if Tua was not hurt, he would be on the Cincinnati Bengals right now. I think he would have been the number one pick of the draft over Joe Burrow. He was that good. We are that quick to forget that he was an absolute phenom. If he catches something, and the Dolphins have receivers, and the Dolphins can run the ball a little bit, dangerous as hell. Really dangerous.
I was going to ask you, what else do the Dolphins have? I mean, the Bills played them, and it was a tussle for the Bills in Miami down there. What else are the Dolphins good enough in the rest of their roster? If Tua comes in, lights it up, say like he does a Justin Herbert or a Joe Burrow, has a pretty good stretch for a month or so, where could the Dolphins get to?
I don't know, Steve. I like them a lot. I don't think they're great defensively, and they still have a lot of future picks, and they're going to go down the road to be defensively, but they have receivers. They got these running backs now, this Miles Gaskin, this guy who's taken all the carries for Miami more or less away from better-known guys like Jordan Howard. Runs hard, doesn't care, is someone who's not expected much of and isn't impressed by it. And Fitzpatrick's winning. Tua's skill set is unbelievable. It's a little bit like we saw from Kyler last night. Everybody's watching Kyler Murray against the Cowboys, just blown away by his talent and his speed. It's a little bit like that, except left-handed, maybe even a slightly more accurate passer. So if they give him Tua and he's got receivers and he got a running game, they're going to have to score some points because I don't think the defense is great. It's just a matter of ceiling. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to do what he was going to do, and the Dolphins are saying, we think we can take this division. We think we can rattle off, you know, five out of the next six. And knowing about Tua's talent like I do, I would not love it if I was a Bills fan. I'd like safe old Fitzpatrick, wherever he is, keep him on the field. We know him. We're not afraid of him. The Tua thing is a little scary.
Talk to me, talking to Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football here with us every week on Tuesdays. Talk to me about who you think is the class of the conference right now. Is it Pittsburgh? Is it Tennessee? Or is it still Kansas City right now? Those are the three at the top record-wise, but who do you like the best? Right now, who's the power in this conference?
I love Pittsburgh, and I don't pat myself on the back because no one cares after 5 seconds, but in August, I picked the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the whole Super Bowl, like the entire thing. I just, because here is the deal with Pittsburgh. You know their defense was going to be great, and there was no secret. Everybody knew it. The question was going to be Roethlisberger. Can they have enough offense? I bet on Roethlisberger making that pick. I have not seen Ben Roethlisberger on the field in years, maybe if ever, look more comfortable. His body language is almost positive and happy, borderline goofy. He's smiling and joking with referees. We've seen ornery Roethlisberger for years. Always banged up, always dealing with some headache in the huddle. There's none of that now. It's young, cohesive teams with a Hall of Fame quarterback, a crazy defense. And they just, I mean, listen, the Browns are supposed to be a threat in that division. They didn't belong in the same field.
Yeah.
The Devin Bush injury, the middle linebacker, is not great. It is not going to help. I love, love, love Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
can't say it enough.
I called that the Who's Your Daddy game last week because Pittsburgh is just Cleveland's daddy. It's just over and over and over again.
Yeah, you already mentioned them, and you said that you weren't going to count. It's not time to say goodbye to the Patriots yet. But I've heard it. I heard a clip, and I've seen it on social media. There are actually fans in New England and media people who are saying, like, wow, Bill Belichick has lost it. It's totally over, and it's time to I buzzed out laughing. I thought it had to be sarcasm. But apparently it's not. And, I mean, there are some problems in New England. Obviously, they've been, you know, out of the building like the Titans were. They haven't been practicing and stuff. But now they're all over a guy who has gone to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 of them.
Yeah, they're all jumping into the Charles River.
What are they doing?
Well, I think it's the same people who I saw were saying about the Packers. Let's take a look at this Jordan Love. I think we've seen enough. Can we get Jordan Love suited up and get him a few snaps?
Right.
Come on. Take everybody, calm down. I think with the Belichick thing, Steve, I think what it is they want it to happen, and they're trying to will it to happen, and they would love to see Belichick just go 4-12. But then here's the worst part. Then they would have that happen and say, yay, Belichick suffered. And then Belichick's going to draft an amazing quarterback because he's going to have, like, the number 4 pick in the draft. Either way, they lose. But the idea of somebody sitting here because, well, they lost Tom Brady and they had a huge issue with COVID, had 2 practices in 2 weeks and lost the field goal contest means Belichick's head's on a stake. Everybody just relax. Come on. I know you want it. You'll get it eventually, but not right now.
Right.
And then finally, for me, Kyle, there are rumors circulating now that the Washington football team will be making a play for Cam Newton. Obviously, they're connecting the dots between him and Rivera for their quarterback situation, which I guess you would say is muddled at best right now. Could you even see that being in the cards for Cam to reunite with Ron Rivera?
Chris, this is a real thing. I don't see all the things you guys do. People are saying Cam to Washington?
Yeah, for next year.
Wow.
Because he's only on a 1-year deal.
All right, so Cam to Washington next year.
Yes, because he's only on a 1-year deal.
I didn't see that because I was seeing Jets trade Sam Darnold to Dallas like before the deadline.
Good
That's
Lord.
The hot one that I'm seeing in the streets this morning because the Cowboys are going to say, we're in all alone in first place with one of the worst teams we've ever had. What if we get a different quarterback? Maybe we can win a few playoff games. I don't see that either. But Cam to Washington, probably not. Short of, you know, Cam doing some different things this year. I never got the impression that Rivera was in love with Cam anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Rivera right now might love Kyle Allen more than he loves Cam Newton for a million reasons. So next season, sure, maybe so. But also Washington might be taking Trevor Lawrence next season.
Yeah. I want to ask you about those Cowboys. Last night,
they
looked horrible.
Yeah, it's tough. That was tough.
Kyler Murray, on the other hand, looked great. Listen, I lost 2 Super Bowls to the Cowboys, so I got no love laws against those guys.
Have at 'em, Steve.
Right, but I don't. But man, oh man, was Mike McCarthy a mistake? I mean, what's going? Because I always thought the Cowboys had some talent.
That's a good question. I think that Mike McCarthy is maybe learning that it's very difficult to win without Aaron Rodgers. And I really mean that. When you have a seminal generational quarterback who really never turns the ball over and has you in contention every single year, it's great. And he probably told the Jones boys when he was trying to close the job, hey, my teams don't turn the ball over, and I know offense, and I know this, and they probably just lapped it up. Andy Dalton is not Aaron Rodgers. Andy Dalton is not Dak Prescott. I have no beef with Andy Dalton. He is what he is. I don't blame him for last night. I can't even – we tried to discuss the Cardinals this morning. Are they good? I was like, I don't know. Are the Globetrotters good when they beat the Washington Generals? They're just doing bucket of confetti and a bunch of nonsense. It's not even like a real opponent, which is a terrible, terrible thing to say. But when Mike McCarthy attempted a field goal down about 50 points or whatever it was to cut it to 47 points, I just didn't know what he was doing. He seems to have lost all sense of himself. He looks totally miserable on the sideline. And so are all of us who want to celebrate the Cowboys. You know, I don't have a bias to the Cowboys, right, but I think it's more fun when they're involved. And, oh, my God, it's really, really bad.
And yet at 2-4, they remain in first place in the NFC East.
I know. I still think the Eagles are going to win that division, though. The Eagles lost to Baltimore this past weekend. They made it close. It almost felt like a win. That's how bad it is. I'm saying I have it at 6-9-1 is going to win the NFC East. And here's the crazy part. Remember when the Eagles tied the Bengals and everybody was screaming about Doug Peterson and he went for a tie and didn't take the win? I think that tie is going to get them into the playoffs. Yeah. I really do. And that stupid, miserable tie is better than a loss. I mean, it's a tie in the NFC East is like three wins right now.
Right.
So they tie, and that thing may come full circle and get them in.
It is.
The
it,
analytics
it,
gurus will be tie, all over that.
A tie means you gain a half a game on the entire division.
They'll have a new metric.
Nobody else is winning.
They'll have a new metric. Winning percentage above expected value on ties. Just wait for it. It's coming if Philadelphia pulls off what Kyle just suggested.
Please, Chris, save this clip. And when the Cowboys finish 6-10 and the Eagles finish 6-9-1 and get a home playoff game, can we play this back?
We will.
I think it's happening.
Yeah. We'll do it. We'll get the guys in the control room to lay it down. We'll save it. We'll put it in the vault. We'll roll it out December 28th, and you'll look like a genius.
This will go into the hopefully not file.
Yeah, but probably so.
Yes, probably so. All right, Kyle. As always, we thank you for the time. Hopefully we're talking about something a lot more pleasant next Tuesday.
We're going to be talking about Bills 41, Jets 6.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
41-6. Just flex on them.
Flex on them. All right. Steve's writing that one down, too. That'll be reminded to you next week as well. Thanks for the time, as always, sir.
See you guys. Love you. See you next time.
All right. Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football. That was a good pick-me-up. We needed that.
Yes.
Because, I mean, hey, if you can't laugh, what the heck else are you going to do? You're just going to grouse and wallow in your own self-pity.
Yeah. I said it last week after the Tennessee game. You know, we got to sit here and we got to get over. We got to find a way. And I'm sure, you know, there are a lot of Bills fans. I used to do it, and I know my family did the same thing. You kind of have this coping mechanism because, you know, your team never wins all of them, and there's always going to be losses that, like, just gut you. And so you got to have coping mechanism. What do you do? And maybe this is our next Twitter point. What do you do to get over a loss like that? Right? Because I know this. The Bills guys, they're watching that game film probably now. They're probably finished with it now. They're working out. They're getting now. They're moving on. They're turning their sights on the Jets for this coming Sunday at 1:00.
Yeah.
So they're working towards getting better now and fixing what they did wrong yesterday and what's been going on with them and trying to get their mind around maybe big, like the boulders you're talking about, the big issues, as well as their own individual issues that they got to play better in. So they're off and running already to the next game. They're working to get better. They're working to get healthy. They're working to communicate better, to make plays that they didn't make in this last game or the game before, all of that stuff. So the players and coaches are, boom, they're a million miles from where we're at here as fans and as commentators and all of that. We're still chewing on that loss last night and trying to gulp it down because it tastes so awful. But you know, so it's harder for us. So maybe that's a Twitter poll we can come up with. What do you do to get over a Bills loss? You know,
we can do that
that's
tomorrow.
What you do. I mean, that's what you have to do as a fan. You got to find a way to get it behind you because the players and coaches are
just
a million
flush
miles
it.
Forward. They're done. They're gone.
I think a lot of people were probably five deep into a six pack. That's one way to forget about it.
Yeah, I didn't get there until after the game. But a lot of people were there by the third quarter.
By the third quarter, right? 803-0550. We are going to get back to the phones, but we'll take a break now so we have more time to do that on the other side in our next segment. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. It's Tuesday therapy after a Monday night loss. It's all coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Second half of the show now underway on a Tuesday game review edition of One Bills Live. And we do want to get back to the phones right away. Got some people waiting patiently there. We're going to lead off with Tom in Fairport. Tom, thanks for holding on. What do you have for us? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
You bet. Go ahead.
Oh. Hey, a couple things. I think the guy they brought up, Zimmer,
yeah,
seen him last night. He was all over the field. He played a great game, and he played for a spot.
Well, he's a hard worker. You know what you're going to get every time he plays. He was actually with the Bills earlier in his career in a camp and didn't make the roster, and then they brought him back here, you know, late in the summer.
He was on the field week one.
Yeah, and then he went back on the practice squad, and they called him back up yesterday. He's a high-motor player. I don't think anybody can debate that.
No.
But yeah. But is he the end-all, be-all answer to the problems that this team has on the defensive line? I think they go far beyond just one player in one spot, unfortunately.
What else, Tom?
Correct. And the next thing is, whoever knew how much we would miss star on the defensive line?
Yeah, it's they need a space eater. They really do. I mean, you look up and down the defensive line roster, and Tom, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Vernon Butler is clearly their biggest defensive lineman in terms of girth and size. He goes 330 pounds. But when he was in Carolina, he didn't play the one technique all the time. As a matter of fact, you know, according to the people down there, he played more three, even at 330 pounds. And he was in a contract year last year, put up some numbers, earned the contract up here. I just don't know. He's big enough. He's the biggest guy on the lineman. So you'd say, okay, well, put him at one technique and let's go. Have him tie up two guys and let the other guys get the one-on-ones. And I just don't know if he's a fit for that role. So now where do you go?
Right.
You don't have anybody over 315 pounds on the roster among your defensive linemen. Quentin Jefferson goes 291. Ed Oliver is 285, maybe.
Right.
You know, and now your Harrison Phillips is like 305. So, I mean, your options are limited in terms of having a big space eater just standing in there and grinding with two linemen. So, yes, I think they do miss Star. And, you know, I was getting a lot of tweets last night about Jordan Phillips. Why didn't they re-sign Jordan Phillips? He signed a 3-year, $30 million deal with Arizona. And people are like, oh, you know, Mario Addison isn't any better than Shaq. They should have re-signed Phillips and they should have re-signed Shaq. Well, that's all fine and good if you want to do that. But if you do that, you're probably not signing Deion Dawkins and Tre'Davious White to extensions. If you make that commitment to those two players,
right,
you probably don't have the money to sign Dawkins and White to extension. So decide what you want, because if you want to pay for these guys over here to keep your defensive front intact, you're going to have to maybe part with somebody over here.
Right.
So it's give and take.
Yeah, there's no question that Shaq and Jordan Phillips played well last year for the team.
They were stout.
A really good defense and had career years, both of them. but they exceeded. But what the Bills knew that they were, felt that they were, the contracts that they got from those other teams exceeded the value the Bills could put on them. Particularly with, like you said, they got pending guys that they really want to keep. They want to keep Tre'Davious White. They want to keep Deion Dawkins. They've got Tremaine Edmonds coming down the pipe. They've got Josh Allen coming down the pipe. They've got Matt Milano, who is ready to get signed. So, you know, you kind of, as most good football teams have to be able to say goodbye to good players and replace them. That's the way it's going to got to be. And the Bills made that choice about Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson.
All right, back to the phones, and we go to Jimmy in Kansas City. Jimmy, thanks for joining us. What do you have, sir?
I just got a couple of things. First of all, appreciate you guys taking my call.
Yep.
It's going to for the answer to your question on how do we as fans get over losses. Unfortunately, for the fans, it's not until we win the next game. you know, it's not easier for the players and for you guys in the media to do it because you guys get to do focus on the next team and we get to sit here and stew on it. especially being here in Kansas City, it's pretty horrible for me right now today. It was pretty tough loss. But the reason I was calling in and I want to talk about the defensive line. I think the issue that we had is the coaching staff, did a phenomenal job the last few years bringing in guys like Lorenzo Alexander, Jordan Phillips, and getting those guys into, like, raising their level of play into, like, all pro, and then, you know, they move on. And then I think they were trying to do it again by bringing in these other guys like Addison and Butler and Jefferson and Klein, and was hoping to try to do that again and instead of addressing those positions in the draft. And I think they're kind of like victims of themselves by kind of thinking they could just do it again. But I really wish they would have addressed that in the draft instead of trying to bring in these, you know, average to below average players and trying to see if they could raise their game. And then one more for Josh Allen. I think he's really good when he gets in a rhythm. So what I would like to see is, you know, to start the games, let's give him some simple passes, you know, something maybe a short little screen or dump off to kind of get him in a little bit of a rhythm. Because to me, I think yesterday, that first couple drives, I think he wanted to show, you know, like there's the whole controversy with Mahomes and him with his arm power. I think he was wanting to show the world, like, here's my arm, you know. So I think, you know, calm him down with it, get him, like, you know, maybe some scripted plays, you know. So I'll take you guys' answer off the air and – Steve, you should be in the Hall of Fame. So you guys have a great day. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. First of all, you're right. Fans don't get off it. I don't know if I agree with you. You got to remember this, and you can say whether they were successful or not. They brought in these guys like Vernon Butler, like Quentin Jefferson, like Mario Addison, and let guys like Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson go. But they did draft Ed Oliver, and they did draft A.J. Epineza. So they're trying their best to address what they think's going on up front and keep that group, good, if it's stocked with young talent, and they're trying to refurbish that with the losses they got with guys that they brought in. So you can say what you want, whether A.J. Epineza is going to ever grow into that or whether Ed Oliver is going to be the kind of player we want him to be, but they have addressed that in the draft. I agree with you about getting Josh started early. Give him a quick, easy throw. Give him something that lets him just, you know, relax, take an easy completion, and get his rhythm going. I've said it too. I said it during the show, and I said it last night, even on the broadcast. That man, Josh made two of the worst throws of the year, back to back on the first play of the game and the second play of the game.
And that was a short little play to try to get him into a rhythm. It's a short throw out into the right flat to Beasley.
He threw that at Cole Beasley's heels, and
that might be
hard.
Radio here.
Let's try one more.
There might be a problem.
Here. Okay.
All right. So
the user error
we'll take a timeout from that. Let's take a look at the tweet sheet because we haven't gotten to that yet at this point.
We have a tweet.
And as you know, well, yes, because essentially what we are asking everybody today is let us know at One Bills Live how you feel about that or anything else that you have that's a concern. From Tiffany, she says, and the tweet sheet is always brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Tiffany says, what I would like to see is for someone to step up on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not seeing a player on the D playing with much fire and intensity. Some of the top-end drafted players need to step their collective games up a notch. White, Oliver, Edmonds all come to mind. And this kind of plays into a lot of what I was talking about earlier, Steve. Fans were tweeting to me last night during the game going, good Lord, somebody make a play on defense.
Right.
Someone, anyone make a play. Now, Josh Norman made a play at the end of the half, jumped on that ball after the forced fumble by A.J. Klein.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two guys making a play. Two new guys to the defense, by the way. And then Justin Zimmer almost made a big play at the end of the game, but upon review, the forced fumble was ruled that the back's knee was down.
It was a hair late, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They had one pass breakup, Steve.
You're right. And I think that's one of the things that I miss seeing from this defense over the last 2 years is they just don't churn out turnovers. They just don't churn out turnovers. And that's one of the things that was their hallmark, 2 years ago, 2018, 2017, when this whole thing started up. And you just don't see that as much as you did. And I think that comes from – like we say, I think it comes from the guys up front forcing a quarterback into an off-balance throw or a throw when he's uncomfortable and he's not quite sure. That doesn't happen. And also, you'd think last night with as many chances as they had, maybe somebody would rip the ball out of Edwards-Hilaire's hands or something, force a fumble there, which, as you said, Zimmer did. It was just a hair late. So, yeah, somebody needs, at some point, somebody will hit an opportunity they'll take advantage of and make a play for this defense, and maybe that'll spark something that we see in a more substantial way from the entire team.
From Steve, he says, not having Star has really shown its importance this year. The D-line is really getting manhandled, and the linebackers cannot flow freely like in past years. I do think Zimmer played well last night. To me, the biggest issue is injuries. We need to get key players healthy. If after last night's game and the game the week before, if you don't think that Matt Milano is one of the two or three most important players on the defensive side of the ball, you're nuts. He is such a versatile talent and does so many different things for that defense, whether it's rushing the passer as a blitzer, whether it's dropping into coverage deep down the field with running backs and tight ends, or fitting in the run front and reading things and stretching plays out wide to the sideline. You want to talk about a guy that can mirror a back on an outside run play and spill it and spill it and spill it wider and wider and wider and get it out of bounds, it's Milano. I mean, outside of Tre'Davious White, he might be your best matchup player, your next best matchup player on defense. And without him in the lineup, he has been sorely missed.
It hasn't been just him either. It's been, a smattering of injuries all over. Now, I think a good team and a team with the depth that we thought this team had should be able to overcome all that. But you got Levi Wallace. Now Josh Norman's playing a little bit more than you thought he was going to, and whether he was going to take over for Levi Wallace remained to be seen because it was by default.
And Cam Lewis replaced Taron Johnson at the slot corner, and then he hurts his wrist.
He lasted 10 plays last night, Cam Lewis did. Matt Milano's been injured. Harrison Phillips isn't 100%. Zach Moss just got back on the field last night. That didn't help. They're missing, I think, John Feliciano in a big way up front on their offensive line. Cody Ford was in and out, got rolled up on last night.
Has a knee injury.
John Brown was not 100% last night. There's no way you can convince me he was.
He looked like
himself.
A shell of himself.
Right.
Last
he was
night.
Not.
He was a decoy, basically.
He was
night.
Not playing well. I mean, he just wasn't 100% last night. Cole Beasley has been nicked up and doesn't look 100%. He's been hobbled around. You see him coming off the field every, fifth play, hobbled for some reason or other. So all of those things add up, no question. Dawson Knox, the starting tight end.
Been in and out.
He's been
out
in
with
and
a
out.
Concussion.
He's out with
a calf.
Now he's with a calf. So it's something the Bills haven't had to deal with, particularly
last year.
But most teams do have this kind of stuff to deal with. But I don't think the Bills have overcome it. I don't think their depth has been as big an asset as we thought it might be when the season started. So we'll wait and see. It's a, we'd love to see this team firing on all cylinders like they did early when they were completely healthy. I don't know if you can count on that happening during a regular season in the NFL. It's just too brutal on these guys' bodies. And once we get these guys back, there'll be a handful of other guys that go off on the injured list. So it's going to be an ongoing issue.
All right, we have to take a break. When we return, we'll make sure the phones are fixed so we can get back to your phone calls at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 as we roll along here on a Game Review Tuesday edition of One Bills Live. Back in a flash here in a moment. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Time now for Reed's Milestones. Reed's Gems, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. The last time the Bills had a share of first place in the AFC East this late in the season was in Week 6 of 2012. Buffalo last had sole possession of first place this late in the season in Week 7 of 2008. That's when they got off to a 5-1 start. Week 6, 2012. I can't quite remember what their record was then, but Week 7 of 2008, for some reason, is right in the frontal lobe of my cerebral cortex, so there you go. 803-0550 to get on board. Let's get right back to the phones as we're nearing the top of the hour here, although we'll get to more of your phone calls after the break at the top. But to Ken,
are the phones working now? I
mean, well, we're going to check. We'll find out very soon here as we try to talk to Ken and Clarence. Ken, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there we go. What do you got for us, Ken?
I have a speech from 1910. Theodore Roosevelt. It was inspirational. It's called The Man in the Arena Speech.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, I've heard it too. If you want to read it, go ahead, I guess.
It's 157 words.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to hear it in its entirety. I know it talks about basically, you know, if you haven't competed, you're lesser than the person that's in the arena competing.
Even if the person in the arena is failing.
Yeah. So
exactly.
That's the general gist of the speech.
Clint, and I get it.
Teddy Roosevelt's one of my favorite presidents. So
yeah, you're right.
You're right in my wheelhouse there.
Is that where you're at mentally, Ken, after that game last night?
Well, short of cracking open some cold ones, I just read this speech to my nephews. They all play hockey and lacrosse, and they're very into sports, and they've gone to Russia to play hockey games for Team USA. You hear all the stories of defeat and how the team cheated, this other team cheated, and, you know, it's all tilted toward just winning. And, you know, it's, unless you've played sports, you know, it's hard to criticize somebody unless you've played sports.
Right.
So I've played a lot of sports too. I played college level hockey. I bowled on the Pro Bowlers tour for a short time.
How about it?
And until you've experienced a lot of defeat, you can't advance. It's like I could throw strikes all day long in practice, but I can't do it when it means something until I failed against some of the best bowlers that I've ever bowled against. So I passed this on to my kids, and I thought, wow, how funny. Here's an example of the Bills, and the Bills players themselves should hear this. They're young men. They make mistakes just like we all do. And I just didn't want to read the whole speech for you, but you hit it on the head. That's a good summation of the speech.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Ken. We appreciate it.
Ken, thanks for hanging
out. And, you know, I don't think I need to go into Steve's record as a professional athlete. I mean, he played at the highest level. I was fortunate enough to play college at the college level. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that Steve and I kind of know where these guys are coming from to a certain extent. But at the same time, when you reach the highest level, it is all about winning. I mean, you can talk ad nauseum about, well, yeah, you take the good with the bad, and oh, shucks, we didn't win the game. People's livelihoods are on the line at this level. It's different. Winning is everything. At the NFL level. It's a simple fact. It's just the way it works. And if you are not successful and you don't win consistently enough, you're not around. you're somewhere else or you're out of the league. So there's a lot more on the line here because it's people's livelihoods at stake, people's careers at stake. So winning is everything at the NFL level. I don't know if you feel differently, but.
Well, I certainly that's the bottom line, and I get it. There's a lot of ways you have to approach it, though. You're still being coached by you're coaching and being coached by human beings who've got a lot of things on their plate, and everybody comes from a different place. Everybody comes from a different background, and everybody, and despite the fact that it's all about winning, everybody plays for different reasons, and they're in the game for different reasons. But the bottom line is, you're right. You got to find a way with a couple of hundred people involved. Forget just the 47 players on the field. There's also 25 coaches. There's 22 or 25 medical staff, trainers, and medical people in the building. There's a couple of hundred staff members in the building. And it's about getting all those people to focus on one thing, and it's a game every weekend. And all of us, guys like you and me, we're a million miles away from it. But there are people right there next to it that can help those guys. And they do. So while it is all about winning, and that's all anybody outside the building cares about, you got to first and foremost know that you're playing with and for a lot of people you care deeply about, and that's what helps you win. It's important, and it's an important ingredient, and it's something that sometimes gets forgotten in the discourse that we have on the radio and on social media, and everybody's from a million miles away. People are throwing darts in on the Bills today and saying, yeah, well, it's the Bills, we knew what they are. Well, you may think you do, but there are a lot of guys in there who are pretty quality people who are working really hard at it. And like there are in every team. I mean, this league is chock full of outstanding people.
Workaholics.
And workaholics, outstanding people, people that you love, that are loved and respected by the people who know them best. So, yeah, it's all about winning. But the way that you go about doing that is with a level of professionalism and empathy and hard work and, caring.
Collaboration.
And collaboration and love for each other that goes far beyond the boundaries of the sport. So it's a complicated matter. Bill Walsh, the great 1980s coach of the 49ers who introduced the West Coast offense and largely responsible for a lot of what offenses do today in the NFL, even today, said this, and he's right. He goes, listen, he goes, until you have been in it, nobody knows how hard it is to win in this league. The Bills, as good as they played on week 1, 2, 3, and 4, they're not playing in a vacuum. The Titans and the Chiefs and the Jets and the Dolphins, for that matter, and all the Bengals and the teams that are struggling right now, all these teams they know how hard it is to win in this league.
Yeah.
And they have tried to do all the right things for all the right reasons, and for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. But I get it. I appreciate Ken from Clarence calling in, and it does matter what these guys do, but they're the ones who count. And we can, you and I can sit here in our chairs and throw darts at what they did or the problems they have. And this team has some warts. I said it last night on the broadcast. They've got some warts. But you can still win games with warts. And they have done that this year. And I think they'll continue to. They're going to win their share of football games this year. I still have hopes that they can win this division, get a home playoff game, and win it and go beyond. So, but they're going to have to play better than they did last night. Absolutely.
Unquestionably.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody on hold, 803-0550. Stay where you are. We'll get to you when we return because we've got – an open segment here, and it's a long one before we talk to Eric Wood in about a half hour's time to get his thoughts on last night's game. Hour number 3 belongs to you, the Bills fans, so stay on the line. If you're waiting there, we'll get right to you here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.